Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and we're continuing on in a message I've been sharing this week on the glory of God, entitled The Glory Restored. We have been looking at a pattern that occurred in the Old Testament where the glory of the Lord, represented by the very Ark of God, was taken. Phinehas's wife, as she gave birth to a son, named him Ichabod because she said, "The glory has departed from Israel." The glory being the manifest presence of God as represented in the Ark. And so it was restored. I mean, when it was taken by the Philistines, they transported it from city to city. And then it was discovered that they perhaps thought that all their problems were the result of the Lord being displeased with them. And so let me just share it, verse 19, and it says, "He smote the men of Beth-Shemesh." Well, no, let's see. They took a milk cow, and they allowed it to go its own way. And they said, well, if it's the Lord, if it goes back to its home, then obviously it was probably the Lord rather than chance that caused this to happen. Verse 19 says, "When it was discovered in the field of Joshua the Beth-Shemite, God smote the men of Beth-Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote of the people 50,000 and 70,010 men. And the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Beth-Shemesh said, 'Who's able to stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall he go up from us?' And so they sent messages to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, and they brought the ark into the house of Abinadab and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it said, it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord." What we're seeing here in the way that God dealt with Israel is that he wanted to make them so aware that they are serving a holy God. Now you might say, well, we are under grace. That is absolutely true. But the character and nature of God has not changed. And so as we've been looking at our text found in 2 Samuel chapter 6, what is occurring in this passage of scripture is David is bringing the ark of God into the tabernacle of David, that which he had prepared for it, so there could be round-the-clock worship of God and seeking and being in the presence of God. And so once this occurred, when they brought it out of the house of Abinadab on a new cart, one of Abinadab's son, Uzzah, touched the ark, and he died before the presence of the Lord. And it says, verse 7, "The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah." He called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And verse 9, it says, "David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, 'How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?'" And we see here a fearful seeker. And let me explain, not just fear and terror, but an awareness of the holiness of God. What was going on? David was so anxious to have the ark of God, his presence, as many are desirous of salvation. However, before David was to bring the ark to the city of David, he was the king. He had to have a revelation of the holiness and the power associated with the ark, as well as a sense of his own unworthiness. how shall a holy, sin-punishing God come to us? If he is a God of mercy, of love, but of absolute holiness, he will not deny aspects of his character, his person, because he's a God of love. He's also a God of justice, and sin must be punished. Presumption must be punished. How can we live in fellowship with such purity and might? Beloved, God knows our frame, and he provided a way. The answer is the cross of Jesus Christ. As I just shared, remember the men of Beth-Shemesh? They died by looking into the ark. They said, who is able to stand before this holy God? Only those who have been covered in the blood of Jesus. Romans 5:1-2 says that we have access by faith into the presence of God. Remember when Jesus died, before he gave up the ghost, he said, it is finished, and that veil of the temple, that heavy veil, was rent from the top to the bottom, indicated that there now was a way made through his flesh, the unveiled Christ, that the veil of his flesh was torn, that God's people could come into the very presence of God. The Word of God tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Praise God. And so let's go again back to our text. So David was afraid. And of course, during this period of time, they sought the word of the Lord. They sought his presence. They sought understanding. And verse 10 says, David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and all his household. And then, of course, the news got to David that Obed-Edom in his house was being blessed because of the ark of the Lord. And of course, during that time, they read the word of the Lord. They read the instructions that God had given to Moses and were willing to do it again, this time the way the Lord had prescribed. So what do we see represented in Obed-Edom? Well, he was a humble believer. It said that God was blessing him. And in 1 Chronicles, the 15th chapter, verse 18, his name appears as one of the porters. Now, what's a porter? Well, this word is used in the Authorized Version. It's not a bearer of burdens, but it denotes a particular task that was assigned to someone, and that was a doorkeeper or a gatekeeper, if you would. That word, the Latin porta, meaning gate. And that makes us think of that lovely verse in Psalm 84:10-11. Well, let me read 9. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy house is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And so he was of a humble occupation. And even though he was humble in occupation, he evidently received the ark joyfully. For from that day, salvation came to his house. Jesus said, if any man open the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. And so we see there was a great rejoicing. He was faithful, and in a short time, it was demonstrated that his service to the Lord and for all of Israel was being honored. And that gave David the courage to attempt a second attempt, doing it God's way, the right way. Praise God. And so what do we see? Let me share verse 12 and 13. It was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they had bare the ark of the Lord, and when they had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might, and he was girded with a linen ephod. That means he wasn't naked, but he divested himself of his kingly robes. Again, he was humbling himself before God and was a simple worshiper who was worshiping God with all that was within him. And beloved, that hasn't changed. That is God's desire for us, that we can worship him in spirit and in truth, not according to a form or a ritual. You know, all of Israel praised God. So often in our churches today, we have skilled and gifted and talented worship leaders and musicians. And I saw that many years ago when I came back from Oklahoma. I was looking for a church where I could, while I was in Tracy, and you would see the people, they'd sit there with their arms crossed, just staring up at the pretty scenes, at the words, and let the worship team worship. It's like, God wants all of his people to be of one heart and one mind in worshiping and praising him. And so when we look at the scriptures a little further, verses 12 and 13, when we see what was going on there, we're going to understand in perhaps a greater way God's heart for his people to experience his presence, his glory, as we do things his way. The Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. And scripture tells us all the way through Psalms how we're to worship God with all every aspect of our spirit, soul, and body, to the degree and limitation we have the physical health and stamina and strength to do that in terms of physically. But God wants sincere and heartfelt worship, and we're going to learn more as we conclude this message on tomorrow's broadcast. But as I bring this broadcast to a close, I want to thank you for joining me, and as always, I invite you to write and share your prayer requests. If the Holy Spirit is moving upon you, he has a reason, and if you will be obedient and follow that unction, then you will see why God, there's a purpose in it, not only for prayer, but perhaps for whatever God would give for me to send back to you. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you. Thank you for joining me. Know that I pray for you every day. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,